broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Nut out starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for November 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property. And, of course, to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances put in place by our founding fathers are absolutely brilliant and one of the great keys to preserve the nation, to restore the republic. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Wow, ladies and gentlemen. What do you call this? Thanksgiving Eve Day? All right. Anyway, we're going to have a delightful broadcast live for Thanksgiving as well. You know, a lot of people take off for the Thanksgiving holiday. We don't. We go live because we believe a lot of people preparing their meal and everything else would like to listen to hard-hitting conservative talk radio that focuses on how grateful we are for this wonderful nation, how grateful we are for God, family, and country, how vital it is to defend the protection of life, liberty, and property 24/7. The list just goes on and on. By the way, this broadcast is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys today. Thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. Also brought to you in part by your Patriot Printing Service. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 to learn more. Ask him about his free honey Thanksgiving Christmas deal as well. All right, education system broken. Yeah, Ed exits what they're calling the get out of homeschooling or get out of government schooling plan and promote homeschooling. We talked about Ron Paul's article and his website and homeschool curriculum and more. Homeschool, private school, one of the great solutions to reject government control of education. We also talked about the Oregonian conspiracy. The trial still on track, says LibertyNewsDaily.com. They're going to still prosecute these other guys. Our prayers are with them for sure. Wow. We also talked about as other celebrities whine about Donald Trump. Gary Sinise just gave a veteran a home with the Gary Sinise Foundation. We've also participated in helping the vets and helping Gary with his foundation. With good reason, the veterans do need our support. We also talked about hearings remain open for a 14-year-old accused in government school gun shooting. Provo man accused of burning and beating kitty cats. Woman arrested. They call it in a twins death off cliff. She's fighting extradition. And I guess the bottom line is it's just a weird story where we don't understand the details. Is it fake news? We also talked about Elon Musk says that his new solar shingles will cost less than a dumb roof. Electricity will be just a bonus to his plan. Well, anyway, they start the article telling you the shingles are going to be less than your traditional, you know, asphalt shingles or whatever. When they end, they say they'll be really, really expensive high-end. It's usually the bait and switch that goes along with this solar, wind, you know, new energy idea. We talked about making milk with juice from the sun. We also talked about Maine is about to slash its solar subsidies. We had our guest on, Mr. Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com. And we talked about how Barack Obama sets new record for regulations. 527 pages in a single day. Obama pushes, quote, $5 billion in new regulations right before Thanksgiving. It's just off the charts. Anyway, we talked about out-of-control regulation. We talked about government involvement in many things. And Kurt Cosby, Sam Bushman, Jim Clymer all agree that, you know what, government involved in power creation and distribution, not appropriate, not necessary. Shouldn't be happening, especially when it comes to the subsidies. Now, you can maybe make a case to say, not that I agree with this, but some say, you know what, you got to build the highways, Sam. This electricity is kind of like the digital the new media, the technology highway here. And so let the government create the grid. That's fine. But they shouldn't be subsidizing power, subsidizing solar panels, etc. Well, we all agree that government involvement in this creates moral hazard. We also all agree that nobody really likes and supports and believes in handouts, at least not in our conservative circles. But, you know, the discussion becomes, what do you do when you've already got an entrenched system? We talk often about, you know what, we live in the real, but teach to the ideal. And I think that's Kurt Crosby's main point yesterday on the program, was that, you know what, we live in this situation. And sure, we'd all like to abolish it, but that's not on the table. The ideal would be to just shut down government involvement. We all agree. But what about the real? What do you do in the real to try to make progress towards solutions, towards a better circumstance than we've got now? How do you trend in the right direction? And a lot of times charter schools and other options in education have come up. And are they perfect? No, far from. But they do breed plenty of competition. And so there's a lot to these discussions about living in the real and how to navigate this, how to make sure we're not promoting socialism, but we are living in the real and we are trending in the right direction. Kurt Crosby with me. The recap just finished. Available libertyroundtable.com on demand or on your Roku player. Look for the Liberty News Radio channel. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
We ran out of time yesterday, Kurt, and I don't think you got a chance to kind of respond. But really, the issue is that we all agree that, hey, we'd like government just to be out of this. That's the ideal. But we do live in the real, and sometimes it's very difficult to navigate through that in terms of, you know, what goals we have and what do you do in certain situations. It's just not, there's just no good answers sometimes, but maybe there are answers that are better than others, and maybe different people have a different way of looking at those answers. And, you know, oftentimes it comes down to intent rather than current circumstance sometimes, right?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, you know, and at least when it, as to this whole, so many times it's the, you know, a situation where we find ourselves with what we always call choice A and choice B, and we need choice C, but, you know, it's not on the table, and so, you know, we're allowed, and that's, you know, I was, on this whole solar thing that we were talking about, you know, it's so similar to whether it's the healthcare, you know, kind of talk or the education situation. So many times it's the same thing. They've given us, hey, here's your choices, here's your allowable choices. You know, homeschooling is allowed. It's just not encouraged. It's, you know, sort of like, well, it's the evil stepsister and, you know.
Well, it's kind of like if you want to go
the
off
crazy
grid.
Aunt in the basement. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's, I mean, you can do it. I mean, you wouldn't be smart to do it. That's, you know, kind of all that they tell us. And yet, when you experience it, you know, you find out that it is, I would say, quite freeing. And yet those who've never done it themselves typically will tell you, oh, no, that won't work, you know, especially the educational elites, you know. And when I look at, for example, the solar or the, you know, we've even talked about the small nuclear kind of thing that was in a neighborhood close to us.
And by the way, not to digress, I want you to continue on this, but I'll mention the article that we read about one of those two articles, I think it was in the article about Maine. You know, they said hardly any money by government's been put in the solar, I'm sorry, been put into the nuclear simple reactor option, but yet tons of money has been put into solar. So it just goes to show that we all disagree with, hey, the government literally forcing directions with funding, right?
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think even Jim Clymer mentioned that, you know, so there's some winners and losers made typically by governments when they choose certain ones for us, or, you know, make those forced choices on us. You know, and I thinking at least, you know, over the Odyssey part of my solar experience so far, and I'm talking about, you know, the early years. I remember when I first bought a little solar device, and all it was a little bunny rabbit that you put in your yard, and it had a little solar panel on it, you know. And now I'll tell you what.
And by the way, I'll tell you about my solar Odyssey, too, because I've got one, believe it or not. And at one of the main points, you know, Jim Clymer asked you right at the end of the hour, hey, Kurt, are you got your solar panels? You know, is the government subsidizing those? And the answer is yes. I get that. However, it kind of ends, in my opinion, on a little bit of an unfair note. I'll explain. We'll talk about our solar odysseys in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
As I was saying, when you ask Kurt Crosby, hey, you're working on a solar panel thing? Oh, yeah, I'm installing one. All right, is it government subsidized? Well, yeah. It's a fair question in the sense that, you know what? None of us want to be taking government money, right? But it's an unfair question because the second Kurt says, yeah, now you think, oh, man. You know, Kurt's on the dole, and he preaches against that all the time, and what gives with that? Well, the reality is the next question that needs to be asked is Sam Bushman and, you know, Joe Q Public out there, any of you, are you on the grid at all? And if you are, then you say, okay, well, how much are you being subsidized? And frankly, the answer is we know we're being subsidized. We know we've been subsidized our whole lives on this, Kurt, and we don't know how much, and we've basically been forced into this reality. That's kind of the point that I mentioned before, is that you know, you live in the real. I was born into this socialist grid system, Kurt, and I've been taken from it, or whatever you want to say. My whole life I've had electricity, and I've never been completely off the grid on my own dime, Kurt. And even if I buy solar panels, or even if I buy my own wind capability, or even if I live by a river and use hydro, or whatever the case I do, how much manipulated are the prices to purchase those? And if I buy, let's say, a bunch of solar panels, and as you wisely point out, the price is just ratcheted up because of moral hazard, because government's subsidizing them, so the price goes up for anything that becomes easier than the market would normally bear to get, then the supply and demand is messed up by government, and the price goes up, etc., right? Well, how much more would I have to pay to get off the grid than should I pay? And is it a moral hazard in the reverse direction to say Sam should have to pay the penalty out of his own pocket for moral hazard? And so the problem is there's no good answers to this stuff, and I submit to you that every one of us, unfortunately, unintentionally, is flat out on the dole. And from an ideal point of view, it's wrong. It's got to be stopped. From a real point of view, though, hey, I'm not sure how you deal with it, how you extract yourself from it. The bar of entry to getting on your own and becoming, what, power self-sufficient is a very tough road to hoe, much of it because governments ratcheted up the prices of these alternative options, Kurt. And so that's why I say that the question's a little bit unfair. Kurt's honest in answering it, but it acts like, well, then you choose to go on the dole and everybody else is not on the dole, or the baseline's not a problem. And it is, Kurt. It clearly is. And so I don't really know the real answers. Your point about, hey, you know what? Maybe it's subsidized, but if I can literally get one of these installed and eventually reduce my bills and reduce my dependency on government, that's probably worth the, even if you could say, ill-advised investment. Because in the end of the day, am I going to be closer to freedom or closer to tyranny? Closer to independence or dependence? It's a wise point, Kurt, and it's something that needs to be explored, and that's why I wanted to take quite a bit of time on it. You want to add to this, Kurt, a little bit? But I do think that there's a real reflective reality that we need to consider here.
Yeah, it's a great point, Sam, and a number of great points. Those are the reasons, at least a number of, like, my thought process when it came to the whole solar thing was, as always, you know, wouldn't it be nice if government were out of it? But since that wasn't really an option, then, hey, if governments, for example, I'll give you one other close connection to that.
After your example, don't forget to tell us about your solar odyssey, okay?
Yeah, I'd prefer that there was no government, for example, the income tax and the whole IRS system. I mean, I think there's much better ways of collecting taxes from Americans and making it less intrusive. But since we live in, as you call it, the real, work to the ideal, then, well, I participate in the income tax system, and I do the best I can to use as many tools as possible to keep as much of my
So you're just tax evader, protest. You're not very American, are you, Kurt?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you take that argument, then the only real, you know, loving, patriotic American would give all their money to the government, because, of course, the government knows best on how to take care of all your money. But
in fact, you didn't even borrow personally and give the government money so the government wouldn't have to borrow.
That's right.
Really dedicated.
To protect your country, you know. But, you know, I don't, I guess you could say, not participate. I do participate in that, you know, system, and I try to do the best I can to keep all that, you know, what, hard-earned money in my own family, in my own pocket, if you will. And the same way, when it came to the solar systems that I saw that were available, that, you know, that I could really participate in this whole power thing, they had it all locked down. Unless you live basically out where you are not accessing the grid already, as far as I can see, there is no option of, you know, you participating basically growing power yourself and being paid for it, other than you've got to participate in that system, in that they call it net metering, and that is where you're still connected to the grid. They just use your power when they need it more, and it's, you know, the logic is that you turn your meter backwards when you produce power.
Yeah, so your extra power goes back into the system.
That's right, and it goes, well, it doesn't, as far as I know, it doesn't even literally get used by you. You know, it's just that certain times, like say at nighttime, you're using some, so then your meter goes forward. And then in the daytime, when maybe they've got peak usage like air conditioning use and needs like that, then when you're supposedly growing or producing a bunch of power, then it would help that system.
Yeah, and that's kind of where my warning comes in, to say what they've really done is they've kept you on the grid. They just allowed you to contribute to the grid in terms of electricity. And at what point do you own your own solar panels versus at what point, if they subsidize them, do they own them? And if you're really feeding power to the grid but you're still dependent on the grid for your power, you know, at what point independence does it give you, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it's hard to tell the answers to those questions, but I think it's an attempt to some degree for government to make sure that you stay part of the, quote, centralized control grid. And that's kind of what I'm warning about. I'd like to see a way and a system where we could literally get completely independent of the grid and the government and the government electricity and everything else. It's hard to accomplish. Financially, it can't be done unless you've got plenty of money and can justify it for other reasons. That's the sad part. The good part, though, is that, hey, this technology is getting more and more developed. People are finding ways to at least generate more power into the system, oftentimes than they take. And so there's a lot of good about it, Kurt, too. We just need to kind of understand it from an idealistic point of view, understand it from a socialistic point of view, and understand it from a reality point of view. And that's kind of where you are. And you're just saying, look, I get all those factors, Sam, but you know what? If push comes to shove and I could generate my own power at some point, I'm going to be better off than if I never work on the ability to do so. And there's no question about that.
Yep. And one of the things that at least they told me was an option at this time was that I'm going to have four places where I can basically plug into in case of a complete grid failure, so that then I could still, say, power the freezers during the day that we have, so that maybe the food that we have stored away wouldn't spoil, because you could at least during the day redirect that power you're generating to, you know, protect those things. You know, there's some part of preparedness that would be in there.
Yeah, that's
then
right.
The other
and the other point
is
eventually
closer.
There might be some incredible battery systems that you could just add on to the
that's
system
exactly
that
right.
could extend that day opportunity that they talked to you about, that could be night or could be other times. In other words, we haven't seen the end of this technology by any stretch. And there's options
that's
down
exactly
the road that
right.
really sound inviting, too. When we come back, let's hear Kurt's odyssey a little bit about how he's experienced solar over his life. I've done the same. It's kind of fascinating, by the way, folks. Hang tight, Liberty Roundtable. Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Stephen Bannon, the former investment banker, Hollywood producer, and Breitbart News Network chief, appointed as head White House strategist under Donald Trump, rejects his emerging media characterization as a white nationalist. In an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Bannon insists, "I'm not a white nationalist. I'm a nationalist. I'm an economic nationalist. The globalists," he continues, "gutted the American working class and created a middle class in Asia." The Trump presidency, Bannon claims, will be the spearhead of an entirely new political movement. It's everything related to jobs. Like FDR's New Deal, the Trump administration will engage in economic experimentation. "We're going to throw it up against the wall and see if it sticks. It will be as exciting as the 1930s, greater than the Reagan Revolution, conservatives plus populists in an economic nationalist movement. Unlike conservatives and libertarians who see the concentration of power in the executive branch as dangerous, Bannon revels in power and enjoys his dark reputation, especially when that reputation prompts critics to misunderstand his strategy and objectives. Darkness is good, Bannon told The Hollywood Reporter. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, Satan. That's power.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, they do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke. Because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby talking about solar power, talking about alternative energy solutions, talking about socialism, talking about a lot of weighty matters, if you will. But we live in the real, folks. I want to hammer that home. We also teach to the ideal. And the ideal is we need to get government out of all kinds of things that really smack of fascism and socialism and monopolies and control and all kinds of stealing from one's neighbor, etc. That's the real. That's the ideal. The real is we live in some very complicated situations. And, for example, my idea that, hey, if government gets out of the electricity business and the private sector is allowed to pursue its reality check between supply and demand and more, we're going to get there faster and it's going to be better and cleaner and cheaper and smarter and everything else. That's all true from an ideal point of view. The real is that's not about to happen. And the real is, no matter how we get there, maybe it won't be ideal, but the real is if we can get to the point of parity or get to the point of reality in terms of technology advancements, etc., and we can get off the grid, or we can get a situation where we can be energy independent, that's a good thing. And even though the getting there was not ideal, the real is that we'll be all better off. And so Kurt Crosby's installing a solar system. Yes, it's partially subsidized by the government. Don't know how to prevent that's the problem. Well, you could say, Sam, just buy your own. Well, yeah, but what good's that going to do when the price is jacked up because government's buying so many solar panels, the supply and demand's all screwed up? It's not right for Kurt to pay a ton more, is it? See, that's the problem. That's the rub. That's the real that we live in. And nevertheless, I digress, except to say, if Kurt Cosby can get a system, get it paid for, get it in place, technological advancements can get him in an emergency to be able to have power if the grid should go down. At least during the days of the promise now, but in time, more and more and more ability to do so with increased technology and battery capabilities and more, his independence just continues to increase. And maybe even the government intends to control this grid, but yet they'll lose. A lot of times government banks on something and they end up being wrong and it benefits the people. Look at the internet, a great example why we're even on the radio today. The mainstream press would never fund us. The bar of entry was too expensive in yesteryear. But now, man, we can get it done on a very thin dime. The Widow's Mite Radio Network's what I'm calling it, because we do it for pennies. And so the government's certainly not happy about that, but the reality is that it's happening. And so the same thing's true with these solar panels or these alternative energy options. Look, let's live in the real, and let's make solutions that point us to the ideal. And Kurt Crosby's Odyssey in kind of the solar experience has kind of led him to where he is today. And then I've got one to kind of share with you a little bit too. Kurt?
Yeah, I remember, I'm pretty sure the first thing I bought was a little, it was, quote, 99 cents on eBay. Now, it was, I think, my first purchase on eBay, you know, way back. But I found out in the fine print that, heck, it was $19.95 for shipping, you know. So all together, you know, it was like $20 for this little rabbit that had some solar stuff on it. You set out in your lawn and, hey, you know, it lit up and at night. And it was cool and neat to see and reminded me of when I first saw first calculator, you know, kind of thing. You know, compared to the slide rule or whatever, you know. I never really used a slide rule, but I just remember seeing it.
See, when I was a little kid, Kurt, I used to use an abacus, believe it or not, for math.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, then I went from the, I remember probably the next part on the Odyssey would have been during the Y2K.
By the way, before
situation.
You continue, the reason they taught me to work with an abacus, and I can't even remember how to do it anymore, but they said as a blind person, Kurt, calculators won't
you
be accessible to you.
Yeah.
And you can feel that and use it. Now, I realize they have talking calculators now and everything else. I get it. I'm just telling you, back in the day, I even learned to type on a manual typewriter at like 3 and 4 years old. And because they said the only way you'll be able to really write, Sam, even if you know the letters, you can't write in straight enough lines to be useful. You know, if you're going to write anything long form, you're going to have to learn to type it out and stuff. Anyway, strange world we live in, huh?
Yep, yep. And so the Y2K thing came around, and, you know, before, in preparation for that, there were a number of places that you could buy, you know, small solar systems. I think we spent probably $500 on the system that was going to help us be prepared. You know, at least it would, you know, charge our radios or batteries or, you know, different things like that, so that in the case of the complete meltdown that could have happened, then you could still, you know, have some way to communicate, maybe, et cetera. You know, and then I've watched as, you know, you get the government, of course. I don't think back then it was really government involvement. But then you have the professional do-gooders, the guys that want to save the earth and all that stuff, have jumped in and said, hey, you know, this way we won't have all the coal-fired plants and all that kind of stuff. So we'll make government money and make it, you know, kind of cool to use solar. And so they've switched into that whole area and made it, like Jim Clymer says, have some winners and losers, and solar's been a winner. And
by the way, if
the
you
losers.
Really study what it takes to make a solar panel, you spend more energy building that kind of technology, and you do more damage to the environment by creating a solar panel than you would have from the coal. But we digress. Continue.
Yeah. At least from what I've seen now, like you mentioned a couple of times, is when the technology gets kind of let out of the box, it's a little bit tough for the gridsters, the government control types, to continue to hold that, I guess you could say, power over
monopoly,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people start going, I could use it for this, I could do it for that. And, you know, I was noticing there was one big story just lately as people try to head out of town. There's, you know, like 50 million of them or so that are supposed to go 50 miles or more. And so you get people like down in L.A. jammed up on the freeways or whatever. But just imagine if people could put their house wherever they wanted. It wasn't required to have, you know, some kind of a power system to it, because you could just go down and buy your own power system and put it right on your house, and you'd have all that. Then you wouldn't have all this gridlock of everybody being jammed up in certain areas and, you know, that kind of thing. But anyway, as we moved along and
got that
closer,
then they'd really lose control, Kurt. Then the real would start to become the ideal in a hurry. But anyway.
Good point. And, you know, lately, at least over the last year or two, as I've seen these offers, you know, here's the way the offer goes. You're a nut to keep paying your normal power bill because we'll charge you basically the same amount. You'll pay that exact same amount for a certain number of years, whereas a normal power bill will continue to go up. After you pay that for a certain number of years, you'll be paid off and you'll own the power system that's on your home. Those are all, at least to me, very good arguments for the reason to move forward.
They are. And by the way, since it's such the in thing, if you ever try to sell your house, Kurt, usually a lot of times people look at that as a bonus now in a very good way. And so, you know what? You're likely to get your money out of it, even in a resale scenario.
Well, that's what I feel like. I know in our case, there's a total of, 35 panels needed. The installers felt that they could put everything on the south and on the west, but because of government regulations that tell them they have to have a 3-foot area from the ridge of the house and 3-foot from the edges of the roof, then they weren't able to put everything on the west and on the south, which are basically the west is the back of our house and the south is the another part that's pretty much unviewed from the road. My wife was saddened to see that there were like 6 of them going to be on the front of the house. And so her initial comment was, oh, that's kind of ghetto. And and I thought about it later. I thought, man, when do you see solar in the ghetto, you know? But they've made them where they look.
Your vision of ghetto and her vision of ghetto are different discussions, Kurt.
I know.
You're thinking about poor people that really don't have something. She's just saying it looks awful.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting to me that, like in our case, it's like jet black on black, you know. So you can't really, at least I don't think, it's hardly even visible. And, in fact, I think they're kind of attractive, you know.
Well, the government makes it less efficient. The reason it's attractive to you is because all of a sudden it speaks loudly. Prepper, conservative, constitutionalist, American, freedom fighter, go off the grid, reject the status quo. That's kind of your view. So you're saying, hey, man, those things are sexy, if you use the modern term, right? Not that you would use that phrase for them. I'm just telling you, in the modern world, that's how they say it. Solar sexy is what they're selling now, Kurt. See? But nevertheless, I bring this up to say that speaks to you. Whereas to her, she just goes, ugly. Doesn't look good, kind of thing. So there you have it. Quick pause, Sam and Kurt on your radio. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kirk Crosby wisely brings up, hey man, if we could get off the grid, there's a headline that says world's worst traffic jam, cars stuck in Thanksgiving getaway gridlock. And if we could get off the grid, you know, you could live anywhere and it'd be phenomenal. So there you have that. Anyway, so Kurt's had a little bit of an odyssey with solar, and he's taking the big leap now. He's installing 36, did you say, Kurt?
I think it's 35.
Oh, 35 solar panels on his house. It's not quite as efficient as it could be because some of them aren't as well-positioned due to government regulation. See why we got to get rid of some of that regulation. Nevertheless, he also could put them on the back of his house and his wife wouldn't cry ghetto. But, you know, there you go. Anyway, they speak to you, though, Kurt, because they really signal all kinds of things that you're for. Whereas your wife doesn't see it that way. She just doesn't think they look very pretty. They're just not pretty, Kurt. They're just, you know, goofy, weird things, and they just don't look good. And so they're, you know, just different reference points for different
people. She seems to have been coming around about that.
Well, what it means is you beat her into submission, and she's, you know, going along now. Because what choice does she have, you know?
See? Well, yeah, choice A or choice A. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I digress. My solar experience is quite a bit different than Kurt's. I started out, believe it or not, in the solar industry back in 78. Mm-hmm. I was 11 years old. And I, long story short, we got a swimming pool. And when the guys came and put in the swimming pool, they said, hey, how do you want to, you know, power this thing? And it turned out they recommended solar power. And so we literally put some solar panels on our roof. And we heated the swimming pool and the jacuzzi with solar power. And it actually worked tremendously well. We had the ability to use solar power daily. But then we could hit a button. Actually, it was turn a valve if you want to get technical. And then you could literally force the regular heating through a water heater or whatever of your pool, like your jacuzzi or whatever. And you could slowly but surely heat things up or whatever. It was actually quite efficient. It saved a lot of money. And it actually worked incredibly well. And that was back in 78, mind you. What's that, almost 40 years ago, folks?
Yeah.
And so I cut my teeth learning about solar with my swimming pool and jacuzzi when I was a teeny kid, 11 years old. And I was the one kind of in charge of keeping the pool clean and everything because I was the one that begged to get it in the first place. And so then my parents, you know, taught me a little bit about pH and how to make sure the water stayed clean and how to keep the temperature happening and how to, you know, use the right tools to sweep and clean the pool and get the leaves out of it and do all those things. And I learned a lot about the maintenance of things through all that. Anyway, I'm sidebarring here a little bit, but that's my experience with solar in the beginning. And so I think solar truly does have a future, Kurt. And I'm never against solar. I'm just a little concerned that the government's making a play to control it. And I'm a little concerned that the government's created a moral hazard by being in it. Those are the ideals that we speak of. The real is that I don't even know if my swimming pool solar was government subsidized or not back in the day, Kurt. I have no idea. I don't know if they were subsidizing it back then or not. I mean, I just don't know. See what I mean by we all grew up in this socialistic reality where we're all subsidized? And I mean, at what point do you do what about it? And how do you move towards a better position that's less government involved, that's less regulated to death, that's less manipulated and controlled. You know, it's very difficult in our society. We live in such a system. So there you have it. You know, if I speak somewhere, then the anti-fascists will come out and say, see, Sam's a Nazi fascist. But I've never advocated fascist principles or Nazi principles of any kind, Kurt. But you're white, see, and so therefore you're naturally a Nazi fascist racist deal. And so, see, that's the problem, is how do you get away from all that? How do you, and so one of the things that you want to do next, though, Kurt, while you're waiting for those incredible batteries to attach to your solar system, is you want to get a generator. You can go down to Home Depot or one of these places, or Lowe's, or buy a generator that would run on diesel, and or you could run one on propane, and you would be able to have an incredible backup, and you could literally just be up all the time, even if the grid went down. So there are a lot of options, and I think exploring them, using them, working with them, gaining experience helps the real become the ideal. I know we're a long way from there. I get it. I understand. And we can focus on the problems all day long if we want to. Now, I warn about them so people are educated and understand, but I don't want to wallow in them or dwell on them. I want to acknowledge them, understand them. But I also want to move past them and say, how can we contribute? How can we find a better way? How can we do our very best to make the real become the ideal, Kurt? Because that's really the challenge. That's really the goal. And if we can get that done, that's where solutions are really be found. So anyway, maybe we're done talking about solar here, but I wanted to at least ferret out. You know, sometimes the debates get a little heated or get a little bit, you know, seems like, man, Sam and Kurt don't agree at all. That's not really true. We agree on most things. We might have a different priority of how to go about something sometimes, or we might have a different understanding of the best way forward in some cases. But you know what? We're all doing our best, and we all believe in the same goal. And I think most Americans are there, Kurt, if we could really get past the posturing and get past the what do you call them, scare word, divide words, buzzwords that divide a lot of us. I think most people are that way. Most people just want a good life. Most people want to have Thanksgiving. Most people would like to have stable, good, solid power the best way possible. Most people don't want to take from their neighbor. Most people don't want to be a socialist or a fascist or a whatever. Most people believe in free market and simplicity. And even the liberals, when you get them alone and talk to them about certain things, they might disagree and say, well, health care is a right because that's what they've been taught. But they're not really trying to steal from you. Many times we just have a different understanding of the way the world works. And what we need to learn to do is set aside some of those things and still work together on things we can agree. Respect people for differences rather than divide. Have a healthy understanding to say, look, there's reasons they think the way they think or they believe the way they believe. Maybe they're valid, maybe they're not, who knows, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, they can be a good person nevertheless. And we really need to work towards a lot of that, a lot of getting together. In fact, Kurt, Donald Trump, and we'll talk about this in detail next hour, Trump drops threat to pursue charges against Hillary Clinton. President-elect, quote, it's just not something that I feel very strongly about. President-elect Donald Trump will not appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton criminally, according to his former campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway, Kurt. Do you want to respond to this?
Well, I think right now, at least especially until the whole electoral college gets their voting done and Trump is the official president, that he's smart to downplay, if you will, this whole situation. You've got people that are literally threatening the electors with, well, in some cases, death if they don't change their votes to Hillary. And it's a very, as Trump has pointed out, kind of divided time in America. And, you know, a way you could, well, you could really see it. I mean, you see the problems in the big cities already with the different protests and people not going to college or going to work or whatever, burn things up, you know, that could certainly, what would you say, increase if you want to light a match to it. That's one way to kind of do it, is to continue on pushing on that whole idea. Whereas, you know, him saying, hey, we got other things to take care of right now, you know, I think is a kinder, gentler, if you will, way to move through this time, I think. So it seems smart there. And then
yeah, now a lot of people are going to be running, hey, Donald already sold out. We can't trust him. We're done. Nothing he says is true. And my response is, you know what? I wouldn't judge so harshly so fast. You know, the question is, what can be done about something when? And I think we've missed a lot of the opportunity. Congress is the one, not the president, responsible for this. Donald may want to lock her up, but may not even really have authority. That's one thing that wasn't articulated well enough. That's why we always teach to the ideal, teach to the reality here, is that, you know what, maybe Donald didn't even have the ability as president to do a whole lot about that. He's not in the legislative branch. He doesn't have the authority for impeachment or some of these. Well, Congress has the power, for example, for high crimes and misdemeanors, for et cetera, et cetera. And so we need to be fair about this a little bit and say, hey, what can be done where and who's ultimately responsible? I'm telling you right now, if 25 million Americans were demanding accountability for Hillary, he would appropriate a prosecutor, or somebody would. Congress would. The president would say, we need your help here, Congress. Let's get this done. The people would be demanding it, and something would be done. But if the American people just go ho-hum, you can't expect the president just to sit out there in the wind without the proper authority demanding something gets done. So what role do we, the people, have in this? And I'm not trying to let Donald off the hook. I'm just trying to be fair about this one and say, where do we go from here? The system is so entrenched. If you're not careful, they'll impeach Donald. Then where do we go? They wouldn't impeach Barack, but they'd probably impeach Donald. Most of the Republicans were against Donald, too, remember. So he's got a very tenuous political position. And if he's wise and smart and careful, he might gain a lot of ground. The question is, when you get in office and you get the, quote, classified briefings and you understand how the real landscape is that you might not understand from the outside, what moves should you take for what gains when? And what do they say? You got to pick your battles? You got to hold, you know, pick your friends wisely and hold your enemies closer kind of a thing? At what point do you not show your cards and hold things close to the vest? And at what point, it's very difficult reality, and we can criticize from the outside and play armchair quarterback. I'm not so sure that it's helpful. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.